get for your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, sitting to the right of Becky Ivins.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning,
how are
Becky.
You? That always sounds
I love
so
making
ominous.
That more dramatic.
There
yeah.
You go. It's a very dramatic thing. Well, good morning, Mike Gannon, and good morning, Mark, and a special good morning to Larry Stein, our Oklahoma County Assessor.
Good morning.
Good morning. We had a thing this week.
We did.
I know.
It wow. Did. Wow. Scandal. Was, oh, where's the news? Breaking news it
was,
happening.
It was really good for me.
Larry Stein and Becky Ivins had a thing.
Excellent for me.
This week.
I don't know. I've never had an experience like that before.
This is too early yeah. in the morning for this, Larry.
I remember when we first met there and you shook my hand. And
yeah, there you go.
It was
yeah.
pretty good after that.
And I said, did you bring your PowerPoint?
And I said, I always carry my PowerPoint with me.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we had at the Central Oklahoma Home Builders Association, I am on the Sales and Marketing Council, and I'm the one that arranges.
Yes. The impresario.
There you go. For education.
Exactly.
I'm huge into education. We need to be more knowledgeable about our industry. And so we had a panel of sorts, a presentation, then a panel with Q&A for with three county assessors of the big counties.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So we had Oklahoma County, mm-hmm. Cleveland County, and Canadian County.
Correct.
Our multi-list area takes up 9 counties. Now, when I say our multi-list area, we list all over the state. We're licensed for the state, and we list all over the state. So what we need is to know about the 9 counties. If we list a property within those 9 counties, we are required to put it in our multiple listing service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we took care of the 3 big counties, and I think that we're going to set something up again next year about this time for the smaller 6 counties.
That would be wonderful. If I'm the assessor then, I'd love to participate.
Well, you're up for election this year.
I am. So. You know, the best part about that is that the assessment process is really complicated, and there's a lot of folks that may not understand all the nuance of what we do and all the responsibilities, and it's great to be out among people because usually what happens is they know people, and then they go and talk to their group and say, I just had a meeting with these. We ought to have them come visit with us. And then whenever we do our what we call our webucation classes where we educate folks to use our webpage, there's so much they may not be aware of. And I always urge them, before you do something and get frustrated, call us and ask us if you can do it on our website. And we've had that with trying to retrieve addresses for neighborhoods. I had a friend of mine who spent an hour pasting and copying addresses from his neighborhood. And then I said, you know, Mark, you could do that with about 2 clicks. And he said, are you kidding me? He said, I'll never get that time back. So call us first before you do something like that. We're happy to help.
And let me say something about your staff, because I have never called a government office and found more knowledgeable, willing to help staff than the assessor's office in Oklahoma County.
I have the best staff anywhere. I mean, in the whole world, as far as assessors go, they are so helpful. They're wonderful. They're easy to get along with.
And, they never and tell
I'm
me
so proud of them.
Why they can't do that. They yeah. always tell me how they're going to help me.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. And that's that communication.
Yes. Well, okay. So we covered things like imagery.
Yeah.
And you had a great PowerPoint for that.
Thank you very much. We're working on a statute to help us use that new technology.
Yeah. Do you know, back when I started in real estate, it was very expensive to purchase in Canadian County because Canadian County reassessed up on purchase. So the purchase prices were going up.
Right.
And so they would reassess at the higher value, so taxes would go up. Because taxes are based on property assessment,
right.
assessed value.
Yep.
Oklahoma County and Cleveland County did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
they assessed every 4 years. And you're still on a four-year rotation,
right,
unless a property
Well, remember, back then, back then it was a yearly process where values would be required to go up to reflect that every year. And then they said to market. And that's when everybody said, wait a minute, that happens every year. We want to have it happen every 4 years. And they said, well, that won't work, because then when someone was having their property resold, someone with a lower value, when the market went down into the toilet, they were having a reduction. And they said, wait a minute, I want my house to be that value too. I want it to go down so I can reduce my taxes. So they said, okay, here's the deal. We're going to assess the market value every year, but we're going to limit any assessment increases. So if it goes up in value or down in value, it'll be reflected, but you're going to be only paying on that new rate that's limited to 3% for homesteads and 5% for commercial and non-homestead properties. It's so complicated, and the legislature kept on making it more and more complicated. Initially, they set a 5% limitation. Then they came back with another constitutional change to limit homesteads and ag property to only a 3% assessment increase. And all of the information is on our webpage at Oklahoma County it's oklahomacounty.org/assessor, and it'll explain to you. It's very complicated, but simple. The simple math is, if the market goes up 20%, you're going to be limited on how much
it goes up. On your homestead, yours is only going to go up 3% a year,
right,
until it catches up to that property value.
And there's been a lot of people that bought houses this year. If you want to file for your homestead, you got 10 days. You've got to do it by March 15th, the Ides of March. You've got to do it by March 15th. The good news is, for the first time ever, you can file that online along with all of the other things that you have to file with the assessor. Business personal folks, the businesses, just like iHeartRadio, all this personal property, they're supposed to render that as well, and they can do that all online. And how does that save money? Well, I don't have to store boxes of paper, and I don't have to have huge masses of paper stuck in file cabinets. It's all on the cloud. And then with the paper, I've got to store it. Then I've got to scan it. Then I've got to schedule somebody, after 5 years, somebody to come pick it up and then destroy it. And now all of it's going to be on the cloud. We've had more than 1,000 people file that, and we want to have a whole lot more file that.
I filed that. 901, right?
Yes, the 901 form. Yes,
there,
ma'am.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Well, thank
up
you.
Up top.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Okay. So we talk a lot about your website.
Yes, ma'am.
I want you to tell us about what the assessor's office does that is not on the website or doesn't involve the website.
Okay.
And that's going to be our topic when we come back.
It.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. So
we'll be right back with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move on KTOK News Radio 1000. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are talking with Larry Stein, our Oklahoma County Commissioner.
Assessor. Yeah.
Man.
Don't abbreviate it either.
I know. Good night.
Don't abbreviate it. Well, right. Okay.
Although some have. I don't want to say who.
I don't want to say who.
Okay, Larry Stein.
That's me.
Okay. We talked about the website. We always talk about your website because it actually won like a national award.
International award. Yes, ma'am. For having access to public records. It's an amazing website, and it sets the standard, I think, for probably most of the United States and the world.
Do you know, recently really I listed a house, two houses that were next door to each other. It was an estate thing, and there was a trust involved. There were two trusts involved.
Oh, boy.
So the owner was – and both people had died. And anyway, she was going, I'm going to have to go look at, I'm going to have to go look up, either get an abstract or go look up some documents down at the courthouse. I said, what are you looking for? And she was looking for a specific deed going from two trusts down to one trust.
Right.
And I said, well, hang on just a second. And I got on my phone.
Do my magic.
And I said, is this what you're looking for, this deed? Would you like me to take a screenshot and send it to you. It was pretty spectacular because we've not been able to do that all that long.
No, we haven't. And that's part of the cooperative effort. We had a great team in Oklahoma County, the elected officers. And I want to thank them because they're the ones that have made the funding possible for us to be able to do this. When you're looking at Oklahoma, Oklahoma is about, I think, 28 times the size of Connecticut. And
wow.
When you're looking at that much property in the state of Oklahoma, and in Oklahoma County we have more than 328,000 parcels, the only way we can do it is using computer technology and having the other officers support the effort. And then in the clerk's office where those deeds are, we link up to all of that. And then we also link up to the treasurer's office, so if somebody wants to find out what the current property taxes are, because I don't do taxes. I don't care if you pay your taxes. The treasurer does. But I don't send out bills about – in fact, I've sent out about 178,000 love letters recently to folks who own property telling them, you made a great investment because your value's going up.
Oh.
And if you didn't know that, land prices and home prices are going up, folks, and it's amazing the increases we've had.
Yet, if it's your homestead, you're only going to be increased even though you've increased – 20%
yep.
in value
yep.
over the last couple of years.
Exactly. And there's a lot of houses like that. And consequently, if someone is enjoying that reduction, that 3% limitation, I don't like to call it a cap because a cap means nothing else comes up, but a limitation of 3%, someone buys the house across the street for $150,000 more, they're going to pay about $1,500 more in property taxes than you are.
Right.
So you know, do a little research before you call and say, how come that guy's paying more? I'm paying more property taxes than my neighbor. We're in the same exact darn home. Well, there's a lot of things. They could have a homestead. They could have an additional homestead for low income. They could be a disabled American veteran, and they won't pay any property taxes. So, and there's about 4,500 people in Oklahoma County that don't pay any property taxes on their home at all.
Well, and bless their heart.
And I encourage that.
Yes. I mean, we need to take care of our veterans.
We sure do.
So on property evaluation, we were going to talk about what you do.
Yeah, what
other
I do
than.
That I don't, that's not usually there. The job description for the assessor is really important. You have to set the market value of all the property in the county once on January 1st of every year. So we're monitoring values, sales. We're sending out letters saying, you know, you paid about $150,000 more for this house than the market shows. Is there a Ferrari in the garage? Because we're wondering, is there personal property?
Much?
Yeah. So, you know, just because somebody pays an outrageous amount, and they may be coming from California or some other place saying, what a great deal for $250,000. And if they don't get a mortgage, then they don't have an appraisal. And they'll pay cash.
Well, that doesn't happen all that often.
So, you know, when you do that, that may not affect the value of the other houses in the neighborhood. But some of the other things I do, like I was with you this week explaining to realtors.
Right.
And then I had a legislative conference yesterday. Over in Middle area, I had a Chamber of Commerce meeting with the Hispanic Chamber Thursday night. I had a breakfast meeting with the governor Thursday morning. There's a lot of other things. And then I'm writing two bills. I had a bill come out of the Senate. It came out of committee about 2 weeks ago. It came out of the state Senate this week having to do with the ability of assessors to use change detection to help us eliminate having to go out physically and look, because the law says we have to physically inspect the property. We have the technology so we can see if there's been any changes. And if I could do that, and in Oklahoma County, there could be 150,000 properties that I wouldn't have to look at every year. So my staff would be more efficient being able to look at new construction. They'd be able to look at changes with building permits and other changes. So that would help us tremendously to reduce our costs. And remember, that bill, the reason we have to pass the bill is because of an 1868 decision from the Iowa State Supreme Court. It is a buggy whip law in a supercomputer age, and it makes absolutely no sense. But we have to go to the legislature to get permission to be able to use this technology.
I was blown away by that you have to have one of your employees, step on every property once every 4 years.
And it's a visual inspection cycle.
To look for changes.
Yeah, exactly. And the school districts pay most of the cost of that because it's in their best interest. I've got assessors that are using Google Earth to be able to find properties in their county. They can't find them because they don't have really good aerial images, but the Google Earth maps and the Google Earth pictures provide that information. The information we use is so precise. It used to be that when they had those original aerial images, you'd have a pixel that would be about 3 feet. Mm-hmm. Now we're looking at sub-3-inch golf ball size pixels. They are really, you used to be able to say, oh, that looks like a vehicle. Now you can say, oh, that's a four-wheel or a six-wheel dually with flared fenders. Yeah. And I think it looks like the Dodge Ram based on the top of the cover. You know, it's amazing what you can see now. And if we can compare those properties, some of those properties down in the Greeley Township, which is south of Oklahoma City, those houses were built in the teens and 20s. There hasn't been any change in those properties in 100 years. And still, the law, the tax commission, demands that we do that. And the international standard for the assessors around the world, they approve this technology to be able to do a visual inspection and perform our task. But we have to go to the legislature because that decision from 1868 says no lower jurisdictional or entity like a city or a town or a county can do anything without the letter approving it. And we just – if the bill said – if the law said that anyone applying for an exemption – from property taxes for a homestead or anything else, must apply in person physically, then we wouldn't have been able to do any of the electronic filing that we just did.
Yeah. Right. So we're just getting to the point of using the technology that's available.
You bet. And it's, you know, I use that. I told some of the senators, I said, listen, you know, if I gave you a smartphone and I told you could only make phone calls on it, you can't text, you can't email, you can't buy things, you can't look at pictures, you can't look at cat videos. Just you can only make phone calls. What would you think? He said, well, that'd be stupid. I said, yeah, you're right. And I said, but listen, if you have any other questions about this bill, why don't you just send me something, a question by Courier Pigeon, Telegraph, or Pony Express? Because that's the kind of technology that was back in 68. And I got to fix this law so we can use the new technology to help me do my job. Because the tax – we use a lot of technology. The tax commission estimates that we'd need 52 more people to be able to do our job based on the size of our county, 720 square miles, 320,000 – worth $73 billion in Oklahoma County. And if we had to have 52 more people, that would be $5 million in salaries, benefits, and other costs associated with having an employee. So, and all that money that we don't spend helps support our schools and all the other important functions that happen in Oklahoma County, like a jail to put bad guys in and other places.
Yeah, that's the big part to me is that this is about schools
and
our community.
You bet.
This is where... This is the space of schools comes in, the value of our homes, and then we pay taxes on that value, and it makes our great schools.
Yeah, you got a lot of people that sit around and complain. I had a guy at one of the places where I go and talk about the website. He looked at me and he said, what are you people – he used a different word, but I'll use a different – gritching about. He said, I lived in New Jersey last year. I had a house that they said was worth $350,000. I live in Edmond now in a house that's really nice, and it's worth $350,000. He said, last year in New Jersey, I paid $18,000 in property taxes. In Oklahoma, I pay $3,600. So what are you people gritching about? And then people say, what is wrong with the state of Oklahoma? We are 47th in teacher pay. Guess what? We're 48th in property taxes. Think there might be a correlation between those two? You know, I've often said this. God bless Oklahoma. I love the place. I've lived here most of my life. But, you know, everybody in Oklahoma wants the best of everything. They just don't want to pay for it. They want somebody else to pay for it. And that's fine. But eventually, you're going to have to get to the point where you're going to have to buy stuff and pay for stuff.
Yeah.
For sure. Wow. When you talk about imaging and inspecting property, mm-hmm. what your bill that has passed
the Senate.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is that you can use images as opposed to a physical visit to the property,
right.
Correct?
And what happens is that the existing image, we have a CAMA, a computer-assisted mass appraisal drawing, that is very precise on the outside of the building, not the inside. And our technology brings in the new aerial images that we get taken pictures twice a year, and it puts that drawing right over the top, and it categorizes it. If there's a change, red triangle pops up in the parcel. If it's the same, it comes up green, says no change. So we can eliminate all that work for my staff, and then they can do other parts of the county. We think instead of doing a 4-year visual inspection, we think with this kind of technology, we could do an inspection of the entire county every year.
Wow, because that way you can do it by computer, most of it. Now, the changes, sometimes you've got to go out there.
Oh, you bet. We do that all the time. We go out when people have disagreements on the MLS about square footage, or when, you've seen this, 200 square feet not reflected on courthouse records. Oh, it is now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and sometimes, you know, they've been like an attic converted or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
you bet.
That.
You bet.
Yeah, so you spot when they add something and when they take something away.
Exactly. We've had people fill in pools, take off the value.
We'll be back with more with Larry Stein, our Oklahoma County Assessor, here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking with Larry Stein, our Oklahoma County Assessor, and it's time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700, that's 728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Well, it's geo-something, a GIS.
It's a GIS term. It's geo-referenced. And if everybody says, okay, you use all this stuff on your phone to find a place, and what does it tell you? It doesn't tell you, well, it's up there somewhere. It tells you in 300 feet, turn left.
Yeah.
That's geo-referenced. That's what happens with these images. When we're using images, all of the data that we have has to be linked to a particular point, so we'll know exactly where that property is, because everybody wants to make sure they get to keep their property. And when that legal description is overlaid on a geo-referenced image, you can see where the property line is, plus or minus. It's not a survey, but it gives you a great indication of where it is. I've been in a discussion with a big company. They keep on sending me the wrong legal description on a property. They want to. Sometimes it's opened. There's no reference on closing the loop, which is one of the requirements on legal descriptions. Uh-huh. And they keep complaining. They say, "How come you haven't transferred the property into that other entity so we could have all of our property under one name?" I said, "Well, you know, if you'd give us a good legal description, we'll do that."
But you know, we had that happen one time. And this was in Oklahoma County, but someone had filed. It was a title company. Someone had copied and pasted line by line,
right,
a legal description that was real long, and they accidentally left one line off.
You know, that'll ruin a day.
Well, I want to tell you, it was a real problem because like you say, it's open. Well, I mean, you describe where the property lines are, but if they don't enclose into the square, the rectangle, whatever shape they are, and one side's open, it's just not going to work.
No, and we'll send them back a nice letter saying there appears to be a discrepancy, because the way this happens is someone will file the deed in the clerk's office. Well, the clerk is not familiar with legal descriptions. They're merely a documentation entity. So when that happens, then that gets sent to the assessor's office, and we have to make sure that somebody isn't filing a deed on property they don't own. And if the legal description is inaccurate, and a legal description is like ancient Aramaic, it's a combination of terms that are completely foreign to so many people. Thankfully, we have people that speak that language.
Right.
And they understand that, and they'll send a notice saying, I visited with somebody over at Dell City yesterday, one of the city manager folks, the guy in the land department. He says, we're trying to transfer some property, but we found out we don't own 15 acres. And I said, based on what? He said, well, they said the legal description was wrong. I said, okay, well, get with my office because we can help you find out what property you do own and you don't own. One of the big things with municipalities and schools is they have five different names for things. They'll have the City of Del City, Oklahoma, or the School District of Oklahoma City, District 42. And then they'll have District 42 Oklahoma City Schools. You know, all these different names and trying to track down all of those properties because somebody said, why don't we change that? Okay, great. Thank you very much.
On 300 and some thousand parcels.
Yeah, exactly.
100 acres
is that. And the schools and cities own land. And they'll come in and they'll say, well, gosh, we filed that. And then we found out we don't own that 16 acres or we own this 30 acres that we didn't know about. Gee. And then they'll get a property tax bill from the treasurer, and then they'll find out that they didn't deed it over to their trust, so it's taxable until they get it into their city trust. You know, I can't help you with that. That's the responsibility of the property owner. I don't care if you're a municipality or a person. There's a lot of responsibility to own property.
Right. You got to take care of
you
it,
do.
Right?
And you have to take care of your money. It's time for our money men. Oh, bring it on. Our computers just dropped. Dean Riddell, I'm going to be your intro for you. Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage is with us, our money man. How are you doing this morning, Dean?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. The market has kind of been strange this week, hasn't it? Tell us what's happening in the market.
Well, you've seen rates escalate about 1% in the last 8 or 9 weeks, and last Friday it got a little bit prettier, and Monday but since then, Mark, you know, you're back in that environment of 4.125 on a 30-year term. So those days are here right now. So we
dipped down and then came back up, right?
Yeah, we dipped down, you know, slightly for a couple of days. I never use the word fall anymore, but we dipped down slightly, and we're back up again in that 4.25 world.
Now, Becky, a few weeks ago, I think you had said this is kind of the normal pattern that nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. But when rates start to rise, they start to go up a little bit, then they'll drop, then they'll go back up. That's been historically.
Right, and watch gas prices. They do exactly the same thing. I mean, because of the shock of it all, it's kind of a gradual increase. And it'll go up, 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 just ever so slightly, up, up, up. And then it'll settle back down just a little bit and go down maybe 1/4, sometimes even 3/8%. And then it'll stay there for a couple of days, and then it goes back up again. And sometimes the next time it might go up 1/8% more. Dean, is that your observation?
Yeah. The only thing that's different about this is, you know, that creep up in rates happened kind of in a short timeline, you know, because it was 8 or 9 weeks ago that, 3.25 was that magical number. And I bet you we closed, you know, 100 loans at 3.25. It was just such a common, stable number. And in a short period of time, we've seen it bump quite a bit. And so, you know, you've got people, Becky, they're building homes that are 120 days out, 150 days out, they need to be in tune with what's going on, because it can change their math if they're building a $400,000 or $500,000 home.
Well, it's hard to build less than a $400,000 or $500,000 home because our prices have changed so much. So,
agree.
But they can lock in, right?
They can, you know, typically 90-day lock, it's not cheap, but you can do a 120-day lock. It's what I call ugly, but 60-day lock is okay, and 30-day lock, of course, is no charge. But if you're planning on a 3.25 rate world and you're going to close in May or June, they need to be in touch with their lender now to start figuring that out, because their budget has just changed a little bit.
Well, it's better to pay a one-time fee of maybe 1% than to pay the one-time fee, to pay the 1% the entire time
of
the loan, right? So,
that
needs to be a talk with your lender.
Absolutely.
And if you want to get a hold of Dean Riddell at SWBC Mortgage, you can give him a call at 405-858-7770. That's 405-858-7770. Or go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and you'll see Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage, right at the top right there.
Dean, you're my favorite.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Thanks, Dean. So we're here with Larry Stein, Oklahoma County Assessor.
Yes, sir.
So, okay. I ask you, Larry, what should I ask you? And you said, you can ask me.
The people that are in the real estate business, they love the Oklahoma County Assessor's website, and it's been an ongoing organic process that's changed over time, and it's been supported by all the county officers in the budget process because we have to have that to be able to get it done.
But why don't the other counties have the same website? Because like Mark just said, it is. We always breathe a sigh of relief when it's Oklahoma County because it's so easy to get
Very
our information.
Much so.
And I love hearing that. And, yeah. And, you know, Mark, Becky, I don't know if you have any siblings, but have you ever tried to tell your brother what to do?
No, but he tells me what to
there
do.
You
I'm
go.
The little brother.
And that's the dilemma because there are counties that – anybody know how many people live in Latimer County?
Two?
I do.
Four?
There's 10,000 people 10,000. In Latimer County.
Yeah.
So if you have a county and there's not a lot of people that are buying homes there, not a lot of people that are transferring property, mostly just farms, not a lot of value there, everybody probably knows everybody, they're not going to be wanting to do this. And in metropolitan areas, there's a demand for roadways. County commissioners that are in control of the budget in those counties, they're going to say, you want how many millions of dollars to be able to set up a thing? Okay. And they may not get the connection between the technology being available and the economic development that could occur because of that technology. Mm-hmm. So there may not be the dedication to be able to get the funds to do that. Because you need $1 million for a website. I can pave a lot of roads for $1 million. I can do a lot of chat. I can do a lot of plowing. I can do a lot of road grading.
Yeah.
So there's a yin and a yang of funds available and what they want to use it for. But, yeah, we're working with the state. The state, OSU has this Council of Government and Legislative Technology where they are purchasing, they're attempting to purchase the aerial images for the entire state. On our website, we have a link where you can get the assessor's information from any county in the state of Oklahoma. I had a guy call me up from Ponca City, and he said, "Are you the Oklahoma County Assessor?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I need to know about in Bartlesville." And I said, "Well, what?" Okay, so I worked with him, and I got to Bartlesville, and I said, "Where's this property?" And it was kind of hard to negotiate and navigate. He says, "Well, it's at the southwest corner of Oak and 3rd Street." I said, "Okay," so I got there. I said, "Okay, what do you want to know?" He said, "Who owns that?" And I gave him the name, and he said, "How much is it worth?" I said, "The assessor's of this," and I said, here's the information on this." I said, what do you want the information for? You know, I'm doing all this work for you. He said, "Well, the lady died who owns it, and I want to go buy it." And I said, "When did she die?" He said, "Yesterday." I said, "You know, kind of soon. You might want to wait."
Well, trust me, the iBuyers don't wait.
There you go.
So, yeah. So, okay. We've got a lot more to talk about.
So, yeah. So, right now our computers are down, so there's no break to go to. So, it's just us.
Awesome.
I know.
That's great.
Right. It's just conversation with it. So, with the as you're going out, you talked a lot about the assessment of value with the cannabis.
Yes.
And all the like, yes. That's kind of a whole Wild West.
Well, kind of. The problem that we had is that when we passed the marijuana.
Medical marijuana you're talking about?
I don't think I'd call it medical because there's a lot of doctors that don't like to take care of patients when they do that because it's not medicinal. The doctor isn't prescribing a certain amount. If you go back to the doctor and say, "Hey, are you getting a lot of help from the medicinal marijuana you're using?" He says, "Well, yeah." I said, "Well, how much are you taking?" "What do you mean?" "Well, what kind of – are you smoking it?" "Well, yeah." "Well, how much are you smoking?" "Until it's gone."
"Yeah."
"Are you taking any consumables, you know, some edibles?" He said, "Well, yeah." "How many milligrams?" I don't know." "How many do you take a day?" You know, there's no program to try and address the issue of how it's affected. So there's a lot of doctors that don't want to take care of patients when they try to treat themselves effectively. And when that passed, back in 2018, it got 57% of the vote, and it said, you need to set up some regulations within 90 days.
No regulations, are there?
Well, there were, but they said they were going to set a bill of about $1,500 to get the permit. So in California, I think the number is $120,000 to get a permit. So we're number one. We're number one. We beat California now. We have in Oklahoma County alone, we have 1,453 licenses for dispensaries, growers, and processors.
Well, you said we'd like to be the best.
Yeah, exactly.
So there we go.
So what happens now? The legislature's trying to address it. We've had a lot of people come in from other places to use our facilities and land, and they have to render personal property. And if we show up and they're on the other side with masks and helmets and vests and guns, my guys aren't going to be able to go in there if they're not allowed. And we need to be able to assess that value, and we need to inspect the property, just like we do every other property in the
town. Do you guys have a new budget item, Kevlar?
And that's part of the problem that we have. We're not a badge and gun organization. You know, that's the police department, that's the sheriff's department, that's OBNDD, the Office of Bureau, the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs. All of those folks could help us. We could all be at the same place at the same time and get it done. And we'd like to get that done. So we don't endanger our employees.
Well, we're back up and running. I think we'll pay a couple bills here. Thanks for being with us. We'll be right back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here with Larry Stein, Oklahoma County Assessor. And we're
as a real estate investor,
there is all sorts of stuff that is just happening in values are going up.
They are.
And if you've not been to the Oklahoma County Assessors and looked at your property, please do that today.
Yeah, and let me make sure that when we send out our, I call them love letters, their notice of valuation increases, they're required by statute. When you go there, we've got something new on anybody that gets something from the county assessor's office about a property. There's a QR code up in the corner, and when you scan that, and they don't pay for the program. You get the scanner and you put it on there. It'll take you directly to the website where you can see your property. It's incredible technology. So if you get your notice and you want to find out all of the comparable sales we used in your neighborhood, then you can find that, and you'll know that this is all last year's data. Last year, prices were on fire, and the most common words that any realtor used was highest and best offer by 5 p.m. tomorrow. You know, that's the kind of market we were in. It was an auction format, yeah. And now when you get that notice, and we sent out 178,000, we'll be sending out more. It's a huge amount of people with increases in value this last year. But when you see that QR code, that'll take you directly to your property so you can see the comparables that we've listed on our website so you can see the comparisons.
Well, I'm going to take a few seconds to tell you how to do that.
Okay.
Because some people do not know how to use a QR code.
That's right.
And it's a very simple. People say, well, just scan it. Well, here's what you do. Turn on your camera on your phone.
Yep.
And hold your camera to where it looks at the QR code. It will zero in on that QR code, create a little box around it, and then there will be something else that appears on your phone. You tap on that link that appears on your phone, and it will open up your property record.
Yeah.
So look at it with your camera, and then look at the screen of your phone and tap on the link.
Yep.
And you do the same thing, by the way, when you go to a restaurant.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You want to see their menu. Point your camera at it. Then tap on the link.
And then you can enlarge it because you forgot your glasses.
There you go. For sure. For sure. Okay. Before we get off the air, I want to talk about our smoking hot deal.
Okay. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord. Our Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh hot Mexican food.
Yeah, I was there this week. So I love my Casa Perico. Well, you went with me.
Yeah, we were at lunch this week.
Yeah, and you had one enchilada, and I had to have two because I couldn't decide between the nice hot cheese one with the chili sauce and the enchilada de rajas,
which is what I had.
Yes, but so I had that with the verde sauce.
It's fantastic.
So it was really good.
I'm salivating on the microphone.
I know, right? Quit slobbering on the microphone, Larry.
It's going to short out.
So, okay, our smoking hot deal is 10501 Jerry Place, J-E-R-I Place. That is located in the North Haven Addition. It backs up. It's a cul-de-sac, D-plot. So, big backyard. It's 1,600 and some square feet, three bed, two bath, two-car garage. It has a really big master bedroom built, I think it was 83.
You mean a main bedroom?
Oh, I know, right? Yeah. The principal bedroom, the primary bedroom. But the bathroom is really big. It's got the two separate vanities, a step-in shower, a garden tub, two walk-in closets. Very nice. It's got granite counters in the kitchen. And this, you're not going to find a bunch of carpet in this house. It's got vinyl plank flooring and tile in the wet area. So the bathrooms and kitchen have tile on the floor. So, and that is $185,000. It will not last longer than today. That's my prediction.
Gee, real estate market must be really good in Oklahoma
County. It's hard to find a $185,000 house.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which, you know, 2 years ago, this would have sold. In fact, I had one right around the corner that sold for $125.
Wow.
And now it's $185, and there's going to be multiple offers on this, but $185 is the price on that smoking hot deal.
And if you want to find out more about that smoking hot deal, you can give us a call at 405-722-3232. That's our office number, 405-722-3232.
Okay, Larry, we don't have much time left, so you tell me what you need to cover.
Beware the Ides of March.
Oh.
The March 15th deadline for homestead exemption, additional homestead exemption, business, personal, property filings. The 15th of March is the deadline. If sadly, just like the 1868 Dillon ruling, I have no wiggle room. If you don't pay by March 15th, it's a 10% penalty on business personal property. If you don't pay by April 15th, it's a 20% penalty. I can't do anything about it. That's in the statute. So please file, file, file. And do it online. It's simple to do online. We've had more than 1,000 people do it, and we love it.
Let me ask you something, Larry. We have a lot of new building going on.
Yes, we do.
At what point are the taxes assessed on that? Because if you close on a house right now and it's new, it's not assessed for any taxes. So let's just say it closes
materials. It probably would have materials or the value of the lot as part of that the developer would be paying. But when it becomes occupied, it's all based on use for us. If it's a vacant lot, it's based on that use. If it's a home and it hasn't been completed until right now, then you'll enjoy a benefit until the first of the year when it comes on as the use of a residential property.
Well, and at what point does it get certified?
It'll be certified the following year, January 1st.
Okay.
And we always, you know, we're watching building permits, we're watching occupancy rates, things like that, occupancy permits, and that's when it goes on. But until someone, when you buy a house, if it's a property that is coming in being built for the long time, especially with the materials problem, supply chain issues, if they haven't been able to complete it, then it's based on the materials that you have at that time. And then January 1st, if someone's living in it, that's when it goes on for the value of the property based on its use.
And you have to have lived in the property as of January 1st to get homestead exemption.
Exactly.
So homestead exemption, it's my birthday gift to the world, March 15th being my birthday.
Congratulations. saves about $100 a year, but it protects your property.
But I will tell you that it does protect the title of your property.
It sure does.
You cannot be forced to sell your homestead to satisfy a judgment.
Exactly, which is very important.
Larry Stein, Oklahoma County Assessor, thank you so much for being our guest. Always a delight, always an educational experience.
Always fun.
Always fun, exactly. And thank you for being with us on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.